Psalm 25, 22. David's praying for the church of God, and he says, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." As I said, last time we saw how Israel is the true church and believing people of God, both Jew and Gentile, from all times. And when David prays, he's praying to God as our Redeemer. And so we want to look at this word redeem and how God is the one who redeems us. And the first thing I want to look at is what the word means. The word redeem here means to loose or to separate. It's the idea of liberate, to deliver, to set free, or to ransom. And it's talking about bringing a captive out of the slave market and setting him free by the payment of a ransom price. So God finds his people as slaves. He pays a ransom price for them. Then he puts forth his power and he brings them out of the slave market and redeems them and sets them free by this payment of a ransom price. You notice how God presents himself in this way. Exodus 20. Now we said that the nation of Israel, those who were descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to whom God gave the name Israel, they are a type and picture of the church and true people of God, which is made up of Jew and Gentile of all ages. And notice how God addresses the nation of Israel at the Mount Sinai when he gave them the Old Covenant. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." All right, so he brought them out of a house of bondage, which was their condition in the land of Egypt. We saw a couple weeks ago in Leviticus 26:13, where God told the Jews what he had done for them. He said, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright." And just like Israel is a type of the church, Egypt is a type of the world. We're enslaved to the world and its philosophies and its practices and its religion. And God brought us out from that condition of being enslaved or bondmen. Also, another one is Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, verses 5 and 10. Warning them against false prophets and pronouncing judgment on the false prophets. Verse 5, he says, "And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God." Now, here's how he describes himself to them, "which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." And that's why false prophets are so evil. They are turning away from people from the true God and from the salvation that he gives and from obedience to him. Verse 10, "And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So he brought him from Egypt, which was a house of bondage, how? By redeeming them. And that's why David says, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." God is our Redeemer. He is the only one who is able to redeem us. No one else can. That's what Psalm 49 says. So David is praying to the right person. The only one who can do what he needs, who can give what he asks. Psalm 49, verse 6. The greatest and mightiest and wealthiest of men that seem to be able to redeem us are not able to do it. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. None can by any means redeem his brother or provide a ransom to God for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious. It's far above any price man can provide, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. So their wealth cannot even redeem themselves. How can it redeem anyone else? Now, God is said to send redemption to and to redeem his people. Right, we said that Israel are the people of God. We're talking there about the spiritual Israel, not the national Israel. Well, those are the ones that God redeems. Luke 1. This is a verse that's very parallel. We saw, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," which means Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Now here's another verse like that. He saves his people from their sins. How does he do it? By redeeming them. Here we have Zacharias, filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesying. Verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed" who? "His people." Now does that mean the nation of Israel? No. It means all believing Jews and Gentiles. "And he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David," because Jesus Christ is the son of David, of the house and lineage of David. Let's see this some more. Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament again. Deuteronomy 21, verse 8. Here they're praying that God would not send judgments upon them for the death of an individual, that they don't know how the person died. Verse 8. "Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them." In other words, God redeemed his people Israel. Another one is 2 Samuel 7:23. 2 Samuel 7:23. Here's David praying. "And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods." Now, the physical redemption of the nation of Israel from Egypt is a type of the spiritual redemption of the church from sin. And this is what he's saying here. "Lord, you went to redeem a people to yourself, even Israel." 1 Chronicles 17:21 says the same thing. 1 Chronicles 17:21. "What one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt." In other words, God's people Israel, those whom he redeemed. And it was that way in the physical nation, it's that way in the church. Another one is Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. In other words, he redeemed us from slavery to our spiritual enemies in order to be his servants. And that's one thing that he says over and over again, that he redeemed us to be his servants, and that we need to remember how he redeemed us so we might obey his commandments and do his will and his work. Psalm 111, verse 9. This is another great verse. He sent redemption unto his people. Isn't that interesting? It says how he sent redemption and how he came, how he went to redeem his people. And that's, of course, God sent his Son who came. He went from heaven to earth to redeem us from our sins. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Of course, by the blood he shed in redeeming us, he established the new covenant, which is an everlasting covenant. Holy and reverend is his name. Another one, Isaiah 62, verse 12. And they shall call them, who, the daughter of Zion, who has salvation, they shall call them the holy people. All right, who are the holy people? The redeemed of the Lord. All right, they are a holy people by virtue of their redemption. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. A city not forsaken. Jeremiah 31:11. As I said, God's true Israel is the true Zion and Jerusalem. Jeremiah 31:11. For the Lord hath redeemed who? Jacob. And ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Right, that's why some people escape the devil and his power, because God redeemed them. And they're called Jacob here. One more, Zechariah chapter 10. This is a theme that's all through the Bible. Zechariah chapter 10, verses 6 through 8. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them. Why? For I have redeemed them. He talks about his people here, again using the terminology of Old Testament Israel. He says, I redeem them. They shall increase as they have increased. And so he redeemed them. Now, what we need to see is that God does not redeem all men. Who's he redeemed? His people, Israel. And it's this very redemption of God that puts a difference between his people and others. That's what he said back in Exodus when Israel was still down in Egypt and God was bringing them out, sending the 10 plagues upon that idolatrous and unbelieving nation that held his people in bondage. Exodus chapter 8. Here's what God said there. Verse 23. I'll read 22 also. And I will sever in that day. In other words, the judgment would come on Egypt, which represents the world, not in Israel, which represents the church. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put, how can we know this? And I will put a division between my people and thy people. And that word division there is a redemption. What distinguishes or separates? Well, we said that redemption means to separate as well as to liberate. What makes the difference? Redemption. I will put a redemption between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So when people teach that Christ died for everybody, what they're doing is they're erasing the division that God made. They're saying that redemption applies equally to all men, believers and unbelievers alike, elect and reprobate. And what they're doing is they're making men not to know that God is the Lord in the midst of the earth. They're losing sight of the true God and representing a false God. And so the knowledge of the Lord is lost by these false doctrines like universal redemption. It's very sad. Now, God redeems his people. Why? Because they deserve it? Because they're worthy of it? No, because of his mercy. He redeems us in mercy. Deuteronomy 21, verse 8, we already saw it. He talked about how he would have mercy on them. He says, "Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed." Right, God redeems us because he's merciful to us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Let's look at some other places he says this. Psalm 26, verse 11. "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity." Remember, he redeems us that we might have the yoke of sin broken in our lives, that it might no longer have dominion over us, and that we may walk uprightly or in God's ways. So he says, "As for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Notice how those two go together. God redeems us. It's in mercy. Psalm 44, verse 26. "Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." Not for my sake, or because of my merit, or my deserving. For thy mercy's sake. Another one is Isaiah 63, verse 11. I want verse 9, is what I really want. But it says there, "In all their affliction." Well, whose affliction? Verse 8. "For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior." In other words, the fact they don't lie shows that they were his people and that he had saved them, because all men are liars otherwise. But he says, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. In his love and pity he redeemed them." When he redeems us, what is it that he primarily redeems? He redeems our soul. Because that's where we are saved or lost. As our soul is, so are we. You know, the soul that sins, it shall die. And so we need the redemption of our soul. And Job 33:28 says that's what God gives us. Job 33, verse 28. I'll read verse 27. "He looks upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit." That word deliver is redeem. "And his life shall see the light." He redeems our soul from the pit of hell. Psalm 55, verse 8. think I might have a wrong reference there. I think it's 18 I want. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Are he delivered or redeemed my soul in peace? And that's the great thing to have, is peace as a result of redemption. Again, Psalm 71, verse 23. He says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My soul will greatly rejoice, the soul which thou hast redeemed. And how wonderful it is to have our soul redeemed from sin and to be able to rejoice in the Lord as a result. And that makes me think of another verse. If I can find it quick here, Isaiah 52. Yeah, Isaiah, no, 51, verse 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. All right? In other words, redemption brings great joy to God's people. And here's why. Psalm 34:22. In Psalm 34:22 it says that the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And we can rejoice in the Lord always as our Redeemer. And so our soul can be joyful in the Lord and rejoice in our God and our Savior, and never be desolate, never be dry and empty. And that's a great thing too. Now you'll find when David says, redeem Israel, O God, that God calls himself our Redeemer many times in the Scriptures. I don't want to look at all of them, but I do want to look at a few of them, and a lot of them in our Isaiah. You find God calling himself our Redeemer. And so that's a proper way to address him in prayer. And it tells us that if we need him to redeem us, he will do that when we ask. We'll start with Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, or Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Right, the true God is the King and Redeemer of Israel, of his people. Verse 24. It says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed me from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. So God is Creator, and he is Redeemer. Another is chapter 54. Here he promises to be with his people in their trials and tribulations and to help them because he's our Redeemer. Verse 5. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. So the God of the earth is our husband, our Creator, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Holy One, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. Verse 8, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. When he has mercy on us in redeeming us, it's an everlasting, eternal redemption, as we'll see in Hebrews chapter 59, verse 20. Of course, that redemption came to us through Christ. That's how he's prophesied of. in Isaiah 59:20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, for as he came to his people to turn them from their sins and to save them. Chapter 60 and verse 16. There God says, thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. In other words, God is our Redeemer, and as our Redeemer, he's our Savior. And, of course, redemption is a mighty work of God, his mightiest work. He's the Mighty One of Jacob, whom he redeemed. Isaiah 63:16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. So the way that we are children of God and that he's our father is by the virtue of the fact that he redeemed us through his son. And so we become God's people by redemption. That's what Isaiah 43:1 says. Isaiah 43:1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. God redeems his people as individuals. He knows them by name. He redeems them from their sins as individuals. Each one of us are precious to him, as he goes on to say. Verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. And of course, he showed his love for us by dying for us. Now, how does God redeem us? In two ways. First of all, by power. He sends forth his power. Deuteronomy 6. So we're being held captive by mighty enemies, and nothing less than the power of God can extricate us and set us free. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 21. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt, how? With a mighty hand. And the Lord showed sign and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. All right, so he showed mighty signs and wonders in bringing them out. Deuteronomy 7, verse 8 and 9. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out, how? With a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. All right, that's the Lord we have. Chapter 9, verse 26. Chapter 9, verse 26. He says, I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Mighty hand. And again, not only by his hand, but by his arm, which represents his power. Psalm 77, verse 15. It says, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. So he used power. And he talks about redemption in that way in Isaiah 50 as something he has the power to bring about. And they need not doubt it or think that he was somehow too weak to redeem them. He says, verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah 50, Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Because no man can redeem his brother or himself. Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. So he's saying, I have the power to do what you need, to redeem you. Well, not only did God send his power, but he also brought them out of Egypt by blood. He redeemed them by blood. Exodus 12. You remember how he had them observe the rite of the Passover by the slaying of a lamb and the placing of its blood on the doorposts of their home. Exodus 12. I want to look at verse 6 and 7. And then 12 and 13. It says, you shall keep it up, in other words, a lamb. And I probably should read verse 3 also. Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, the first month of Abib, he says, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Verse 6, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And of course, that very night he would bring them out and set them free. And so, yeah, verse 17, you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And so they were brought out. First, God sent his judgments on the nation of Egypt, and then he had them slay the lamb and apply the blood, and by it they were redeemed. Now, what is all this saying? What does it mean? Well, it's telling us that God redeems us through the person and work of Christ. Job saw Christ by the spirit of prophecy as a living Savior. And what did he say? Job 19 in verse 25. This famous statement of faith by Job. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. My Redeemer lives. I know it. Who is that Redeemer? The Lord Jesus. And it's in him we live by faith. In Romans 3, 24, it tells us how God gives us redemption. In Romans 3, verse 24, speaking of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, right? Forgiven of our sins and accepted as righteous freely by Christ's redemption. Ephesians 1 says it directly and clearly as could be. Again, speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And what does he mean by this redemption? The forgiveness of sins. And how does it come to us? According to the riches of his grace. Again, it's God's free gift out of his goodness to us. And Hebrews 9 describes it, again, using the terminology of Israel and the pictures of the Old Testament law to describe what Christ did for us. It says there, I'll read 11 and 12. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So their sacrifice had to be repeated over and over. Every year they had to offer up the great sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. Christ died once for sin, shed his blood for the remission of sin, and now we have eternal redemption. Verse 15, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. All right, we have an eternal redemption and eternal inheritance as the fruit of that redemption. Now, God redeems by power, by blood. And Christ is called the power of God in 1 Corinthians 1:24. He's the power of God unto salvation, as the gospel tells us. 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says about Christ crucified. I'll read 23 also. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, those who are redeemed. See, this is the key. God puts forth his power and effectually calls us from unbelief and sin to faith and salvation in Christ. So he redeems us by power. It says, them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And not only is Christ the power of God, but it's in him we have redemption from sin. In other words, God has provided a ransom, not by the wealth of men, not by silver and gold, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, but what is it that ransoms our souls? First Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, these could never redeem your soul, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's only the blood of Christ is of enough value and worth to redeem us from our sins. Remember, to redeem in the Old Testament, you had to be a kinsman. Christ was born of the race of Adam through Mary in order that he might be our kinsman, and he was born without sin by a miraculous conception and birth. And as a result, he is able to redeem us from our sins because he was without sin himself. And he was God and man, and so his blood had infinite value and was a price sufficient to satisfy all God's just demands and to ransom us from our sins and from their consequences. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find that that's how we are there, is because of this redemption by Christ. Chapter 5, verse 9, it says, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And this is being sung to Christ the Lamb upon the throne. For thou wast slain, you were killed, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Redeemed us to God by his blood. And when he redeemed his people, or redeemed Israel, who did he redeem? Some out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And so Christ himself is the redemption of God. And we'll close with that. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. but of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. See, that's God's power. He places us in Christ. And in Christ we receive the value of his work, the merit and salvation of his blood. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that God may get all the glory, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so David prays, redeem Israel, O God. And that's what God does. He ransoms his people, Israel, his believing people, from sin by the work of Christ on the cross when he shed in his blood and died for us as the sacrifice for sin in order to save us from our sins. And he's our redemption. And it can be found in no other and nowhere else. And in him we'll see his plenteous, all-sufficient, eternal redemption. And so he's all we need. So David certainly, as a man of God and a man of faith, was praying to the right person for the right thing. And if we follow his example, we will prevail and succeed as he did. We will be redeemed also by Christ.